Welcome to the FCBC NYC podcast. We're so thankful that you decided to join us in this moment and in this season in your life. Our prayer is that this podcast will be a catalyst for conversion and transformation, and that you will be inspired and renewed in such a tremendous way that your desire will be to be your best for God. Again, thank you for listening, and we're excited to see what is next in your life.
We are an ever-evolving community. Called to live, commanded to love, and commissioned to serve. And if you cannot remember all of that, we have three core values here at FCBC. What are they?
Live, love, serve.
Live, love, serve. I'm looking at my Bible app. King James, Luke 11, verses 1 through 4 in the King James Version. You'll understand why in about 30 seconds. Luke 11, 1 through 4. And feel free, as I declare these words, to join with me, and you'll see why. Luke 11, 1 through 4. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Come on.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our, old school, as we forgive those who trespass, and lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Here's the part. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Good. Let's go to God in prayer. Clearly, some of y'all got some different versions in y'all minds. God, we thank you on tonight, and we thank you, oh God, for seeing us through this year. As we stand at the dawn of 2020, oh my God, we are so glad just to be here. And oh God, as we approach the doorstep of a new decade, remind us, oh God, of how you've carried us for the past 10 years, how you sustained us for the past 10 years, how you've restored us for the past 10 years. God, we thank you. It hasn't always been easy, but you've always been available. And we bless your name for that. Now, oh God, let your word do its own work. We will get out of the way and let you be God all by yourself. And see your name, oh God, we pray. We say amen. 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 Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise as you take your seat. I'm going to be very brief with the little voice I got. For real this time. I cannot fully comprehend or even fully imagine what it must have felt like for Jesus when he embraced and accepted who he was. I can't begin to imagine what it felt like to know not only that you are significant, but cosmically significant. And somehow your life would change the trajectory of the universe. One person embodying all that power, tapping into not a power that just resided within him, but leaning into a power that came from God. I've often wondered why so many of us are so fearful to tap into our own power. And those of us who are fearful, and here's the catch, many of us who are fearful to tap into our own power and our own ability find it easier to worship Jesus. We find it easier to worship Jesus because then we have no responsibility to follow him. It's amazing when your worship becomes your excuse. When your worship of Jesus becomes a reason why you refuse to embrace who you are. This is the same person who, by the way, said greater things than these you shall do. Which means that Jesus had some kind of expectation that what he was doing could be transcended by you and me. Can you imagine that? That Jesus lived with the expectation that you and I would not only bear a resemblance of his power and his prophetic imagination, but we would transcend it. Yes. But there he was, filled with the Spirit of God, called for a divine assignment, and sustained by the presence of God. He realized early on that who he was and what he was not just for himself, not for himself. It is a sad thing when you look at all the gifts God has given you, all the power you possess, all the talents you have, and think it's just for you. No. Don't ever get so confused and let your ego do the driving to start believing that who you are and what you are and what you have is just for you. It's bigger than you. And so when Jesus, filled with the Spirit, filled with all this power, divine manifestation of human possibility, what does he do with all that power? Does he act in selfishness? Does he contain it to himself? The scripture says in all the gospel, he went out some folk to hang with. Oh, you got to get that part. With all that power, with all that ability, with all of those. God bless you. With all that power and all those gifts, this is the amazing thing. He then desires to build a community around him. He does not keep the power for himself, but he uses it to build community. He goes and puts together this motley crew of men who have come together in a way that is very strange. Peter and his brother Andrew, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Bartholomew, Philip, Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, Matthew, and all these who've come together from different parts and different regions and different territories with different backgrounds. He builds a community around him, but his plan is not to consume the power, but to share the power. Because he realized, what good is it to have all of this and keep it to yourself? What good is it to be the manifestation of divine possibility but keep it to yourself? What good is it to be empowered, anointed, called, selected, chosen, and keep it to yourself? At some point, Jesus, with everything he had, realized that this movement was bigger than him. That he was a glimpse of what could be, but even the glimpse was bigger than him. And so as he travels and moves, he takes his crew with him and they expand and more people join on and more people join on and more people get to be a part of the party in so many ways because Jesus realized it was bigger than him. And here's the part I like. On one occasion while he was praying, one of the disciples come up to him in Luke 11 and say, teach us to pray. If you read Luke, and I may talk more about this next service, but if you read Luke, you will find that there's constantly moments where Jesus prays, and after prayer, there is manifestation of power. You don't get this. Read from the beginning to the end of Luke. When Jesus prays, there's a manifestation of power that follows after that through the spoken word and through deeds. Word and deeds follow time with God. And he often gets away by himself, takes time to himself to speak to God, to get direction for his movement that he is a part of. And when he spends time with God and he prays, he comes back filled with power to teach, to heal, restore. You'll find this. And the disciples who had been moving with him had watched this sequel, this cycle, in this sequence, and that's why they said, Lord, teach us to pray. We think we understand where the source of your strength is. It is in your divine connection. It is in your conversations with God. It's in your relationship. Teach us to pray. And when Jesus teaches them to pray, he gives what I call a rebuke against individualism. It is a creed made for a community. And nothing in this prayer is individualistic. They are all plural pronouns being used. Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Us, our, we. Nothing individualistic about this prayer. And yet, those words that Jesus teaches those disciples about what prayer ought to be, a communal activity of engaging God in transcendent and transformative ways, and we today have reduced it to selfish, self-centered, individualistic prayers, trying to get what you need instead of understanding that your progress is connected to the progress of everybody else around you. If every time you talk to God, you got a laundry list of your stuff, something's wrong. If every time you talk to God, you talk about what you need and what you got to get and what you must have, something is wrong. He didn't say I, me, and my. He said our, we, us. It is bigger than you. This work is bigger than you. But it can't get done without you. You have to be a part of it. I know there's some of us who love the idea of coming to church and sitting and worshiping and soaking and leaving. And that becomes a routine. Sitting, worshiping, soaking, and leaving. Sitting, worshiping, soaking, and leaving. And even that action becomes a self-centered activity. Sitting, soaking, worshiping, and leaving. But then there's something that is more required of you. You can't just sit and soak and leave. You must come, see, learn, and do. Why? Because it's bigger than you. Creation is waiting for you to transcend your selfishness. Creation is waiting for you to move beyond your reckless ego. Creation is expecting you to embrace the totality of who God has called you to be, realizing that you are part of something greater than you. I liken it, I'm a jazz fan, I liken it to a group of jazz musicians who understand the power of improvisation. When you get a good jazz band together, there's a few things I want to share with you that you got to understand before you make beautiful music. Nobody can improvise on an instrument they don't know. That means you must be familiar with your instrument in order to be part of the group. Oh, you missed that. Here's your instrument. Here, in case you forget, your instrument is your voice. It is the voice that God has given you. It is a voice, a unique sound that you've made, and the sound that comes from you emanates not just from your body, it comes from your experiences. That the voice you have has been hard won and hard fought. You didn't get that voice just because you could speak. You got that voice because that voice has come through some things, been through some things, and the tone and tenor of your voice is shaped by the experiences. There's some people who sound one way when they're at times of ease, but when you've been through some things, your voice gets different. It has a different resounding sound because you know you can make it no matter what you go through, what you've been through, and there is strength in what you say. But hold on. To be familiar with my voice, I can't be afraid of myself. Oh, because my voice comes from me. But my voice will not emerge if I'm letting my voice be drowned out by the other voices of people afraid of my voice. Oh, no, you're going to get this. Because sometimes we surround ourselves with people who are louder than us because we're afraid of the profound nature of our own tone. And so we let other people drown out our voice because we're afraid of ourselves, because we think if people see who we really are, they'll be intimidated by the audacity of our power and won't be engaged with us. Your voice comes from you. You. That's where it comes from. Your struggles, your experience, your heartache, your heartbreak, your tears, your sleepless nights, your tossing and turning, your joys, your happiness, your success, your voice comes from you. Learn it and start working your instrument. It is what God is giving you. And now remember this, when you start working your instrument, that emanates from you that may mean there's some people who will be left in the wake of your music. Okay. You have engaged in hard work to get to the core of who you are. You've prayed, you've gone to therapy, you've done hard work to get to the core of who you are. And when you've gotten to the core of who you are, there are people who get dissatisfied with who you are because they no longer see you as familiar to them. The problem is, and then they look at you and say, I don't know you anymore. I don't recognize you anymore. And that's when you look and you say, absolutely. It's not that I'm different. I just found me again. I found myself. And here it is. If finding me means disconnecting to you, that's my voice. And when you find your voice, and you find your voice, and you find your voice, when we come into the studio, we're gonna make some music. Here's the key. The great jazz improvisationalists understand not individualism, but individuality. Individualism is connected to self-aggrandizement and self-interest. It's when all you can see is yourself. That's individualism. You think that the sun rises and sets on you. You think that you're the most important thing in the world, and it's not that you should not think highly of yourself, but it is that you've thought highly of yourself that has become so dysfunctional that you don't think anybody else exists but you. When you enter the space with the other voices and gifts and musicians, the key is that you've become familiar with your instrument, you recognize the power of your tone, and then you come together. And you begin to play as individuals, but not intoxicated with individualism. It is called individuality. It is a unique thing that makes you who you are that some people seem so idiosyncratic that they don't want to be connected to you because they don't understand the nature of your genius. Oh, gosh. It's not that I don't really fit in your crew. It's that you don't understand my genius yet. If you understood my genius, you would want to now be in touch with me instead of having me chase you. Here, I'm gonna be done. I gotta let y'all go to the party. Watch this. I enter the space with my unique sound, my unique voice, my unique gift that emanates from the trough of my experiences that have shaped my unique sound, and I've worked my instrument. That means I've gotten so accustomed to the tone of my voice that I don't mind using it on a regular basis. Oh my God, let me pause again. You may be in a space where someone is intimidated by your unique sound. And you've accepted being marginalized by them because you think marginalizing yourself will keep them with you. The problem with this is you keep them with you, but lose you. And what good is it to have friends, but still lonely? Relationships, but still lonely. It is not that you don't have presence, but you don't recognize your presence. Watch this. Individuality, the uniqueness of your voice, your gift, your tone. You now come together with other people, recognize the uniqueness of their gift, their tone, their voice, and you begin to work together, make music together. Here's where it gets good, because you feed off of one another. Anyone who knows anything about music knows that when you're really doing great improvisation, you feed off of one another. There's no script. There's no directions. You're so in tune with your voice and in tune with the voice of the other person. You know when it's your time to start and when it's your time to finish. You know what lane you're in and what's not your lane. Here's a problem. If I play the saxophone, I ain't trying to cross over and play the trumpet. If I play the trumpet, I ain't trying to play the drums. That's why you got one drummer, one bass player, one keyboardist, one organist, and one person on guitar. Everybody can't play the keyboard because you won't make good music. Good music means different instruments, different voices coming together to make good music so that people will be transformed by what they encounter. Why? Because If we came in here today and the only instrument that was playing was Will, we'd walk out of here. Not because Will was not good. He needs more than him to get the work done. Y'all missing this. But when you put his sound and his sound and his sound and his sound and his sound together, they create something that transcends the individual, and the group now takes center stage. Oh, you gotta get this today. The problem with our world right now, there are too many people wanting to get recognized for their individualism. And don't realize that to make world-changing moves, you need more than yourself. That's really the message this year. It's bigger than you. But haven't you always wanted to be part of something great? Haven't you always longed to be part of something that transcended you? Haven't you always desired to move in such a way that you didn't have to worry about who had your back? Because you knew as long as you played your role, you didn't have to worry about self-preservation because someone else was looking out for you. That's what it means to build community. That's the key to 2020. There are going to be things that we are going to require of you this coming year. And if you become selfish and self-centered, you miss the bigger move. There are things that God is going to require from you that will require you to transcend your little space and step into a larger sphere with other people so you can make beautiful music. That's what God is calling you to this year. And it is bigger than you. When I know you have my back, I can fully embrace my freedom because I don't have to be worried about what will happen. When we know we love one another, care for one another, and are here for one another, you can't imagine what will begin to happen. But when we let our selfishness take center stage and our individualism reign in our lives, we miss the opportunity to turn the world upside down. There are children who are hungry tonight, who don't know your name, but are waiting for you. Their families who don't have anywhere to stay. And they don't even realize they're waiting for you. You see all the crisis in this world and you say to yourself, what can I do, Pastor? Do your part. Do your part. Don't just live for you, think for you, be for you, work for you, love for you. It's bigger than you. That's what you ought to strive for. And I know it is hard because this world always tells us you got to get yours and it's about you and your profile and your brand and your name and your image. But what good is it to have a great brand and be by yourself? What good is it to be known but have nobody? It's bigger than you. The world is waiting for you to embrace. The pastor's already said it. What does it mean when you understand it's bigger than you and you're part of this community? It means three things. One, you have a passion for the possible. How dare you be a part of this community and put limitations over your life? How dare you claim to be a child of God and tell somebody what you cannot do, what you're not qualified for, what you're not able to attain? No, you have to know that with God, all things are possible. If you're going to be part of this movement that is bigger than you, you then have to have, as Pastor Trey said, a commitment to creativity. Stop trying to think like everybody else who ain't going nowhere. Use your imagination to see things that don't exist yet and make them come to pass. Let your creativity be the mechanism by which you ignite the passion of people who are around you. You have it. When you were a child, you had it. When they put you in a room by yourself and gave you a few twigs and some cloth, you started making armies and building buildings and making a whole narrative and story in your mind. And then the older you got, you stopped being creative because somebody told you you got to pay bills. That ain't real life. and you let people suffocate your imagination. And now you started playing roles that were prescribed for you instead of launching out and letting your creativity lead the way. And lastly, if you're part of this community that's bigger than you, you have a hunger for healing. When I see the pain, the hurt, the suffering that exists in this world, in this community, something in my soul is grieved. How can you walk by so much pain and not want to bring resolution? How can you bypass so much hurt every day and be unmoved? It's not about, can you give somebody money? It's not about, can you help somebody eat? Do you have a hunger to see healing become infectious? Because you might feed me, but I'm still broken. You may give me clothes, but I'm still broken. Healing. A passion for the possible. A commitment to creativity. And a hunger for healing. When we embrace all of that and play our instruments, I promise you, the world will be turned upside down. I don't have to just sit around criticizing everybody, because I get sick of people who wake up in the morning to get mad at somebody. First thing you do is get on social media and tell who you don't like or who you're mad at and what makes you upset. No. My energy is too precious for me to give it away to negative spaces. I want to change the world, but not by myself. We can literally change the world. I don't care if you come to church. This ain't about church. This is about life and people's lives being transformed. And I want to be a part of that. I don't want to be a part of no clique, and I don't want to be a part of the crew that got the money. I don't want to be part of materialism. I don't want to be part of consumerism. I want to turn the world upside down. And I know we can do it, because if you play your instrument and I play my instrument and you play your instrument, we can create a symphony of peace and justice and freedom. What good is it to be a Christian if you don't follow the carpenter? That is what we are called to in this season. Stand on your feet tonight. I want you to join hands with somebody. You're holding the hand of a human being. Another human being. But the problem is, we don't always know how to be human. We forgot how to love one another, how to be courteous to one another. We think being rude is cool. We think ignoring people is in vogue. You are holding the hand of another human being. And you don't have to know them to know them. Because when I see you, I see myself. When I hold your hand, I'm holding myself. When I love you, I love myself. And I don't care what color you are. I don't care what your religion is. I don't care how you identify. Human is the only thing that I care about. Be human. Because you didn't make it here on your own. Somebody helped you get where you are. Even when you didn't know, somebody called your name. Somebody lifted you up. Somebody remembered you. Somebody was mindful of you. Somebody thought about you. Replicate that, and the world will be different. God, as we prepare to enter this new year, remind us, oh God, that there is more that you require of us. Help us to move beyond the selfishness that consumes so many of us. Help us move beyond the narcissism that is destroying so many of us. Help us to go beyond the greed that is suffocating so many of us. Help us to realize, oh God, that you blessed us in order to be blessings. That you kept us so that we might be keepers. You sustained us so that we might be sustainers. You restored us so that we would be restorers. Remind us, God, of the high calling you have over our lives. God, we love you. And we thank you today. And we honor you. And God, as we enter a new year, we will be intentional about being more human. We will stop ourselves when we are ready to become agitated, catch ourselves when anger is ready to lead the way. And think about the greater responsibility we have for our brothers and sisters. God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And throughout this entire year, God, we will make sure we find ways to transcend our own space and use our gifts, our power, our anointing to enhance the life of another human being. We will give our time, our resources to enhance the life of another human being. We will give our energy to enhance the life of another human being because it is bigger than us. God, thank you. We love you. We will not betray your trust in us to go and show mercy and show love and show grace and be forgiving and live the life we were created to live. We thank you, God. We honor you, Lord. And it's in your name we pray. And we say amen. Amen. Come on, give somebody a hug tonight. Tell them that you love them.
Thank you for listening to the FCBC NYC podcast. We hope that what you heard was informative and inspiring and in some way created a space for you to have a creative encounter with God. You can follow us on social media and on the internet at fcbcnyc.org. Please follow and also contribute. If you've been blessed by what you heard, support us financially that we may continue to offer these podcasts. Thank you again, and we look forward to you tuning back in the future.